End of the year is almost here. I had a difficult time deciding what to actually preach today. There are several different ways I was exploring and going, and then I came to a thought brought on by someone who sent me a letter and a nice gift during pastor appreciation time. Oh yeah, kids can go. You know, it's like, I'm looking around and there are people pointing. Kids are dismissed. Sorry about that. Okay, back to where I was. I'd gotten a letter and a nice little gift during Pastor Appreciation Month from a person who was a part of the church that we pastored for 13 years in Algoma. And one of the things that she said, of course, she had very nice things to say, but one of the things she said is she remembered the message that I'm going to preach today. Of course, I've updated it somewhat. And she remembered that, and that was, I don't know, 10 years ago, and it still stuck with her. And it made a difference in her life. And as I was preparing and going through a couple of different ideas, this one just kept coming back to me. So I thought I would preach that message again. So a little inspiration from the past, but let me also offer a little inspiration. You know, one of the most thought-provoking words that I have received recently came from my wife, from my sweet Sarah. She was, in her message that she gave just a little while back, she talked about Psalm 118, verse 24, that says, "This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it." Yes. Hallelujah. Now, she said this, and I don't know if I'm getting exactly the right wording, but I am definitely getting the right thought that she conveyed when she said, "If this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it, then I also have to say that this is the year the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it." Well, I don't know about you, but I have been thinking over and over and over in my mind that truth. That is an amazing concept that even this year, you know, we can all agree this has been a year like no other in our lifetime. Amen? But in this year, we can rejoice and be glad in it as well. Now, for many, and in many ways, it's been a year of setback. For some, it's been a year of stumbling. It's been a year of confusion. It's been a year of loss. It's been a year of heartache and hardship and uncertainty. And everyone I know is looking forward to 2021. It's just the reality of it. And what you will do. There are many lives, many whose lives, by all outward appearances, will dramatically improve, and yet they will still be befuddled in 2021. And then there are many whose lives, by all outward appearances, will take a turn for the worse, and yet they will rise above it, and they will enjoy success and blessing like they've never had before. That doesn't seem to make sense in the natural. But in the spiritual, I'm telling you that's true. And of course, I am praying for everyone's circumstances to greatly improve in the new year. But honestly, success in 2021 will have very little to do with the circumstances and almost everything to do with what's happening on the inside of you. And with that, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning and for the opportunity to share a word that I know is going to be relevant to most everybody in this building and to those who are going to catch this message on the social media platforms that we put it. And I thank you, Lord, that it is truth that needs to settle into our spirits. And so I say, Holy Spirit, come and bring it in a fresh way. Help us to see this in a way that we can apply it to our lives. And Lord, help us to refocus for the next year on what you have in mind and on the purpose that you have already established. And let us be joyful for what we've already experienced, because we know you are with us, because we know that you have cared for us. You have brought us this far, not to abandon us, but to take us even farther. And I thank you for it, and I pray for this message to be exactly what you want heard, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to begin this message. This is actually just the beginning of the message now. In Ecclesiastes 10:10, it says this: if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. Now, I don't know everything about you, but I know something about everybody here. Everyone here is interested in success. No one wants to be a failure, right? I mean, I know setbacks and trials in our lives can sometimes diminish the hope that we have for success, but within you there is this inherent drive, there is an inherent desire to succeed, to win in life. God, you know, God is successful. Our God is a winner. Our God is not a loser. And we are created in his image. And there is within us a drive and a desire to succeed. You know, I know sometimes people think, well, we need not to be so concerned about that. You know, like they kind of adopt that Eastern religious concept of nirvana. Just accept things as they are. Just be happy and content with how it is now. That's not God's plan. See, you were created for success. So don't think it's that there's something evil about you wanting to succeed, about you wanting to win. That's part of the nature that God has put in us. So you were created to succeed. You are created to reflect God's glory. And that doesn't come from sitting on a log and just being content with whatever situation comes your way. Are you with me? All right, you're all being pretty quiet right now. All right. So because we were created in his image, because we are created for success, I don't think that we can really enjoy life unless we are succeeding. Now, let's not confuse success with financial, you know, abundance, because there are a lot of people who are succeeding in very humble circumstances. How can that be? Well, they are doing what God called them to do. They are being what God asked them to be. And some people are meant to be, you know, big financial magnets, and some people are just meant to be those who bless others in different ways. So don't get confused. When I say success, I'm not talking about your bank account. If you are perpetually failing, you will struggle with inadequacy and depression and an overall lack of satisfaction in your life. Why? Again, because you were created for something different. Come on. At the finish line, we all want to receive the gold medal, right? We all want to receive the checkered flag, and we want the blue ribbon put right there on our chest. We want to win. But I'm not talking about a jealous competition, you know, where we are fighting among other people. I'm talking about winning your own personal race. Yep. Hebrews 12:1 says this. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I'm not racing against you, and you're not racing against me, but we are in our own personal race, aren't we? And I don't know about you. Well, I kind of know about you. I want to win. I want to win my own personal race. I want to cross the finish line. Ecclesiastes 10:10 again. We're going to keep referring back to this. It says, if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. And today I'm going to focus on this concept of the edge. You need to sharpen the edge. In fact, my message is entitled, Getting Your Edge Back. The edge. You know, whether it's in your job or your calling, in your ministry, in your marriage, in your family or your walk with God, there is such a thing as an edge. It's the edge that makes you sharp and quick and efficient and effective. It's the edge. Now, when you have the edge, you think clearly, you're not muddled in confusion, you're not languishing in uncertainty, you're not hesitating between two opinions, you know, you're not double-minded. You have keen discernment. When you have the edge, you make the right decisions. We all need to be making right decisions. I mean, the essence of success is making right decisions. We could say that success really is nothing more than a string of right decisions. And on the other hand, failure is nothing less than a string of wrong decisions that you've made. How many of you know people that have made a string of wrong decisions?
Yeah.
And some people that have made a string of right decisions. Hallelujah. You know, failure is not final. You can start making the right decisions. Now, when you have the edge, you think clear, you have discernment, you make the right decisions, and you flow in the favor of God. So again, how much of this is dependent upon who's in the White House or in Congress? Think about that for your own life. How much of this really matters as far as who's in the White House or in Congress? With the edge, you experience supernatural promotion and you coordinate your life with divine momentum. Divine momentum. That's one of the great keys to succeeding in life. That is to identify with God and what God is doing and flow with that. So if you have these things operating in your life, you have the edge for success, right? But where do you find this edge? How do you get this edge? It's in your spirit. Everybody say, it's in my spirit. Yeah, say it again. It's in my spirit. It is a spiritual thing. The Apostle Paul, he said in Romans 1:9, he said, I serve with my spirit in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I serve with my spirit. The Apostle Paul, you know, he was pretty successful in ministry, wouldn't you say? He did a pretty good job. Paul was successful in ministering the gospel because he served with his spirit. And that's where the edge is. This edge I'm talking about, that's where it is. And it didn't matter for Paul what year it was. You know, it could have been 38 AD or 42 AD. It didn't matter. He had the edge. Now, all that's great. But sometimes we lose the edge. Where we have no discernment. We're confused. We're out of the flow. It's those times when you're going, I don't know what is going on here. I tell you what, a whole lot of Christians lost their edge in 2020. And you know what happens when you lose the edge? Then you have to rely upon the flesh. Read again. Ecclesiastes 10:10. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength. See, when you lose the edge, you have to rely more on human strength. But then it goes on to say, wisdom brings success. I think we could paraphrase Ecclesiastes 10:10 like this. If your spirit is dull and you lose your edge, then you lean more on the flesh. And if you lose your edge and you don't have that edge in the spirit, you end up having to work a whole lot harder in the flesh just to try and stay up. Remember what the Lord said. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. See, that was a word that was spoken by the prophet Zechariah. He spoke it to a guy by the name of Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel was this guy who was very, very frustrated because he couldn't get done what he was trying to do. Zerubbabel was trying to rebuild the temple, and he had been working on it for 12 years, and it still wasn't done. And in his frustration, this word came to him from the Lord. Hey, Zerubbabel, it's not by might. In other words, not by your human might. It's not by power, your human effort. It is by my spirit, says the Lord. And we have got to make a fresh connection with the spirit and not be so dependent upon our flesh. I don't know about you, but I am definitely preaching to me. This may not apply to you. Maybe you have just been flowing in the spirit and God is just doing so many wonderful things and there's no confusion and it's all clear as a bell as what's going on and how you are to participate in what God is doing. But I'm telling you, there are times when I have to set aside the flesh. There are times when my flesh says, oh, I know what to do, and it's contrary to the spirit. Those are hard lessons to learn. I'll tell you what, one way that you can connect with the Spirit is through fasting. Everybody go, oh, not fasting. Not fasting. No, seriously, because in fasting, you do set aside the flesh. In fasting, you control the desires and the urges that the flesh wants to push you to. And it opens you up to be more receptive to the Spirit. You know, in 2021, we are going to be encouraging you to fast. Pastor Ben has already mentioned that. And in January, we're going to spend a good deal of time fasting and praying. And I hope that you understand how important this is for your own individual life, for you having that edge, and for the life of this church, and for the future of these communities. It's all very important. Don't take it lightly. Now, how you participate in the fast, that's something you and God can figure out, and Pastor Ben will give you some direction. But I tell you what, take part in it to whatever degree you are able. And know that it is valuable, it is important. Because if you lose your edge in the spirit, you just end up working harder and you're working in the flesh, and so it takes more time. And you get less done, you wear yourself out, and you end up frustrated, and you end up in a lot of failure. Nobody wants that. Now examine your own life. Just as we're sitting here in this nice, quiet little church, examine your own life. If you're finding that things are taking more time and you're actually getting less done, if you're confused, if you're frustrated, if you're exhausted, if you feel like you're failing, well, these are all signs that you have lost your edge. I know I'm not just talking about a few people here. Now, if you want to turn that failure into success, you have to be wise enough to get your edge back. Right? It says, but wisdom brings success. See, someone with wisdom is going to be smart enough to get their edge back. First, of course, you have to recognize that you've lost your edge. And maybe some have never really had that edge. Well, recognize that, and then in wisdom, move to get that edge back. It's not a bad thing to admit that you've lost your edge. It's not. It's the wise thing, right? It's the wise thing, but wisdom brings success. So I want to share with you a story out of the scriptures about a man who lost his edge and got it back. So let's look at 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. It's a familiar story to some of you. And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan, and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make a place where we may dwell." So he answered, "Go." And then one said, "Please consent to go with your servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." So the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore he said, "Pick it up for yourself." So he reached out his hand and took it. Well, this is a miracle, to say the least. This is a miracle from the prophet Elisha. Now, in this story, Elisha is the head of an institution for higher learning called the School of the Prophets. And this school took young men who had an anointing on their life and trained them to move in the Spirit, to have a word of the Lord, to preach and to prophesy. They were young men that were called to the work of the ministry. So you have the School of the Prophets, but this is not a very large place. They're all kind of cramped, and they needed to enlarge their campus, so they started a building program. Here in 2 Kings, verse 5, "But as one was cutting down the tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out, and he said, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.'" See, this story is of a young man who lost his edge. He lost his edge. He's one of the students of the School of the Prophets. He was enthusiastic about helping to build this new facility, and he was going to be part of the work detail. And all of the students are there. There is Elisha also, and they're on the banks of the Jordan, and they're cutting down trees that they can use for this new building they're about to erect. And while this student is working, he doesn't realize it, but something's starting to slip. I don't know about you, but when I hear that, I think, yeah, there are those times when things, you're not paying attention, and all of a sudden, the spiritual life starts to fade into the background. Something's starting to slip, and you don't even understand it. You don't realize it at the time. And this young man, with every swing of that axe head, the axe head is getting looser. And finally, in one of his enthusiastic upswings, the axe head flies off. And it goes into the river. And it sinks. The young man has lost his edge. Something began to slip. It came off. It went up. It went down. It's gone. Now, I like the honesty of this young man. Something happened, and the first thing that he did was he admitted he'd lost his edge. That's not always easy to do. You know, he didn't just stand there and keep up appearances by beating the tree over and over again with just the axe handle so that nobody would notice. And there's a lot of people that do that. They've lost their edge, but they don't want anyone to see it. They don't want anybody to know, so they just continue on as if nothing is different, and so they look busy. You know, you can make a lot of noise just swinging an axe handle against the bark of a tree. You can work up a sweat. You can stay real busy, but you'll lack one thing. You'll lack results. You will fall short of victory. People will ask you, "Well, how was your day today?" "Oh, wow, man, it was a hard day. I mean, I worked from morning till night." "Well, how many trees did you knock down?" "Well, it was a tough day. I'm telling you, I am sore from all the work that I did today." See, if you are ever going to have real success in life, you're going to have to become results-oriented. No matter what realm we're talking about, the bottom line of success is, do you have any fruit? Are there any actual positive results of all of this work that you've been involving yourself in? Now, anybody that knows me and been around me for any time knows that I am not a quitter. And I'm very patient. I will take my time and I will find my way through the problem. I am not a quitter, and I would always encourage you to never, never, ever, never quit. But I will also tell you, stop doing what's not working. Stop doing what's not working. I don't mean that you quit and you throw in the towel and you figure life just isn't going to work for you. No, I'm the guy that says press on, right? In the difficult times, I want you to press on. I don't want you to ever quit in the sense of just giving up. But you need to stop doing what you're doing if it's not working. You know, every now and then we all need to step back a little bit and assess our progress. If there are no trees falling, you need to figure out why. Even if you're working really hard, if there's nothing happening, you know, take a look at that axe. Oh yeah, there's no axe head on there. Always stop doing what's not working. Analyze the situation. If there's a lack of success, if there aren't trees falling, we need to admit that we have lost our edge. And when we talk about this edge for success, we're really talking about the anointing. Whatever God calls you to do, He will give you an anointing for it. Praise God. What do you mean by an anointing? I mean a special enablement of His Spirit that is released into our spirit that will equip us for whatever it is that He wants us to do. Of course, there are various anointings for ministry, but there are also all kinds of anointings. You know, I believe there's a business anointing. I've seen it. I've seen people who just, no matter what they do, everything turns to gold. They just are good at that. They have an anointing on their lives to do business. Me, I've been around long enough, I understand how business works, but I don't think I got that anointing. I believe you can have a management anointing. I believe you can have a mechanics anointing. Are there any mechanics in the house? People that can work on cars and actually get them back to working? If you've never tried it, you'll realize, oh, there's an anointing behind that. I mean, there's some knowledge, yeah, there's some skill, but I tell you, the really good ones, there's an anointing in their life because God has prepared them and given them all of the right tools, and I don't mean in the physical sense, but to be able to work their way through those kinds of problems. There's a carpentry anointing. There's a parenting anointing. Thank God, parents. There is an anointing for being a good parent. God will enable you to do things in a supernatural way as a parent that you could not do out of the flesh. There's an anointing for creativity. There's an anointing for music. There's all kinds of anointings. In fact, any worthwhile effort within the purpose that God has planned for your life, He will have a blessing and an anointing that will help you succeed. Now, because this anointing comes from God, it's borrowed. You don't own it. It comes from God. The anointing isn't ours. It belongs to the Lord, but He's loaned it to us so that we, for the purpose of what He's called us to do, we'll be able to knock down some trees. We'll be able to build something. Like maybe in your marriage. If you are married, God has an anointing for that marriage. Now you can try and make that marriage work in the flesh, and you'll have some success, but I tell you what, God's got a better plan. God has a way through the edge, through the Spirit, that marriage will be better than you could have ever made it on your own. And I don't care what Dr. Phil would tell you, what God's Spirit says is the way to make that marriage work in your life. I've seen this marriage anointing, not in my, you know, I like to think we've got an anointing in our marriage, but I've seen it in other marriages where I think, I don't know how those people even can survive together. And yet, because of God in their lives and the way that they allow God to work within them, it's a beautiful thing. If your marriage is struggling, maybe you've been doing a little too much work in the flesh. Maybe you've been whacking at it with an axe handle, figuratively speaking, and you are just not knocking down any of those trees that seem to be a problem for you. You're not being able to build as you should, and you know God would want you to. There's an anointing. There's an edge that you should have for that. Now, if you lose the anointing or you've never had it, again, realize it's something that wasn't yours. It was loaned to you. And if you lose it, I believe you have an obligation to get it back. That's what this young man did, right? He borrowed this axe, wasn't his. He lost the edge, and now he's concerned. I got to get this back. It was borrowed. It's not mine. So what did he do? What do you do in this situation? Well, the first thing he did was he got around a man of God with a strong anointing. He got around the strongest anointing in the group that he could find. That was Elisha. If you want to get your edge back, you need to plant yourself in a church that has a strong, cutting-edge anointing. How do you know? How do you know if a church... I mean, look for results. Don't just look at how high they jump and how loud they yell or how much they sweat. That could just mean that their HVAC system is out of whack. Don't judge by the outward show is what I'm saying. Look for the actual results. Look for salvations. Look for healings. Look for miracles. And most important, look for lives that are being changed. If you want to be a cutting-edge Christian, don't settle for a mediocre church. The man of God here, Elisha, when approached by this young man saying, I lost it. The man of God asks him, where did it fall? In other words, where did you lose it? Where did you lose it? And if you've lost your edge, you need to examine your life and you need to figure out where you lost it. Where was it? Did you lose it in the place where you got too busy for prayer and the word? Well, if so, you need to spend more time in the prayer and in word. Get that cutting edge back. Get that axe head back on the handle so that you've got something to work with. And I know it takes time, but you'll get more accomplished. You'll be more effective because you'll have discernment and you'll be making the right choices, the right decisions. And even though it seems like it takes a lot of time to get that edge back, believe me, it's a time saver in the long run. Go to the place where you lost that edge. Maybe it was at the place where you let unforgiveness in your heart. Maybe it's where you let greed dominate your motives. Maybe you lost your edge when you made a wrong decision. And you just couldn't admit it and didn't want to backtrack. And maybe that's where you need to go back. Maybe it's where you let strife into your life or into your job or into your home. Where did you lose that edge? Maybe it's where you allowed yourself to be defiled by lust. Maybe it's where you lost your temper and you opened the door to rage to enter and settle into your heart. All of these things are problems you've got to deal with. Maybe it is where you just let stress overwhelm you. I mean, it's been a stressful year. I don't care who you are. There have been so many odd and strange things and adjustments that everybody has had to make one way or the other. It's been stressful, and if you've allowed that stress to overwhelm you, you are not going to be able to function well in the spirit. You're going to be doing more out of the flesh, and you will have lost your edge. Maybe you let jealousy or envy settle into your heart. It is kind of amazing. I've seen this more in ministry than anywhere else, where people get jealous about ministry stuff. They get envious about stuff, and it just kind of shuts them down. They just can't seem to move forward. Don't let that be you. If that's something that you're dealing with, go back to that point and reclaim your edge. Maybe you just stopped pressing on. Maybe you just began to coast. Well, I think that probably might be very popular, or I shouldn't say popular, very common. That might be a very common cause of people losing their edge. They just got very comfortable and they just decided to coast. And you know, I have a couple of sayings on that. The only way to coast is downhill. You know, when you think about the river, only the live fish are swimming upstream. All the dead ones are just floating by. Be a live fish. Don't just coast. Don't just settle for wherever you think is a good spot. A lot of people lose their edge because they just get overly comfortable. So this man of God, he asks this young man, where did you lose it? And the young man takes him to the place and he shows him. And interestingly enough, the man of God, Elisha, cuts a branch off a tree and he throws it into the water. There in verse 6. So the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and he threw it in there and he made the iron float. Now the word there, the Hebrew word for a stick is the word eteth. And it literally means a tree. That's what the word literally means. Now, let me ask you this. I know I got a group of very sharp individuals here. What tree will cause the edge to return to your life? The tree of Calvary. The cross of Christ. See, you have to go back to where you lost your edge and put that cross in your life. Well, it was the place that I got too busy. All right. Then take the cross and determine to crucify whatever wrong priorities you allowed to take hold in your life. Because if you're too busy, then obviously you have organized your life in an incorrect way. And I tell you what, it's very hard to change those priorities. You just really have to crucify them. I know it's a harsh term, it's a harsh word, but it is a literal term that we need to get back to. Go back to where you lost your edge and put the cross of Christ to work there. See, when Elisha took that stick and he threw it into the water, what happened? The edge came back. I like the way the King James Version puts it. It says, the iron did swim. Instead of that floated, the iron did swim. So I'm saying, come on, church. In 2020, there's not much time left. Let's make 2021 the time that we get our edge back. The time that we begin again to operate with discernment, that we operate in the spirit and not in the flesh. That we begin to spend more time with God and not apart from Him. You know, it might have been sin that derailed you where you lost your edge. It might have been that you just started coasting. But that's probably not most of us. Right? Most of us probably have those other things that just kept getting in the way. Things that seemed insignificant, things we didn't even notice. Right? It started to slip. Our edge started to slip a little bit. We didn't notice it until it was gone. Well, let's be wise. As the scripture said in Ecclesiastes 10:10, let's be wise and get that edge back. See, with that wisdom will come success. And if you act in faith, faith always works. Now, I want to kind of turn circle again and bring it back to what my wife and I have experienced this last year. And I know there are faces here that I'm not very familiar with. I don't know how much you know of our story, but in 2020, it has been a year of great challenge for us. Of course, we went through all of the COVID stuff that everybody did and all of the shutdowns and work situations changing and all of that. But if you didn't know, my wife was in a very, very terrible accident. And it was truly a life-threatening situation. And it's been a long journey for her to get back. But not only that, I mean, we obviously had a car that was wrecked. It was a drunk driver hit her. And so we lost that car and then we got something else, and then we got a different car that I needed, and then I just wrecked that other car. Oh, man. I've had this car, and I put like 2 tanks of gas in it, and that's all the use I've gotten for it. But hey, I've been working on it, and I'm just waiting for a couple of little small things, and I'll be driving it again soon. Praise God. So we had that happen. We just had our son diagnosed with cancer, and he went through his chemo treatments at the beginning of this week. And it's, you know, I'm not even sharing half of the stuff that's happened in our lives. But in all of that, God has been faithful. Our church family has been wonderful. We're still getting cards and we're still getting letters, and you guys have been great. But I tell you what, in all that has happened, we have not lost our edge. I'm not saying that to boast in any way. I'm just saying that even in the most difficult of situations, if you stick with the Lord, you will not lose your edge. If you will continue to set aside all of those crazy things that the flesh wants to bring up, you will be all right. Even in the worst situation, when I'm standing there in the emergency room with my wife, and she's all banged up and she's got blood and stuff happening all over, I never once worried that she was not going to make it. I never once doubted that God was going to protect her and get us through this. And the first time that she was conscious enough to understand what I was saying, I just told her, honey, you and me and Jesus, we're going to make it through this. And I'm bringing that up to say this. 2020 is going to be a year that goes down in history, in all of our own personal histories as well. And you may have suffered even worse than we did. You may have had different trials, but we've all had trials. But this is the thing. In November, middle of November, she has a birthday. And I wrote her a nice little letter. I'll dispense with all the nice, sweet, gushy stuff that I put in there just for her. But one of the things I told her, I said, because of 2020, every year is going to be better than the last. Every birthday is going to be more special than the last. Every Christmas is going to be even better than the last. Because of 2020, we had our vision clarified. We had our souls tested, and we made it through the test with strength. And no matter what happens from this point on, we're ready. You know, good year, bad year, you bring it on. God is with us. Hallelujah. So I just want to encourage you. If we can look at last year and recognize this is the day the Lord has made and I will rejoice and be glad in it. This was a year the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it, because it strengthened us. It strengthened our relationship as a couple. It strengthened our faith as believers. It strengthened our community and the relationships that we have in this body. I'm telling you, you call it whatever you want. I say 2020 was a great blessing for us. Thank you, Lord. I know things that I did not know before. I have a foundation that I did not have as strong as I have now because of 2020. So we, you know, as we're fond of talking about at our house, as Pastor Ben had preached, you know, his wrapping up a gift in an old dirty shirt because that's all he had. And, you know, the gift was important. The wrapper wasn't. 2020 isn't all that important. The gift that came out of 2020, that is the blessing. Hallelujah. That is the blessing. And you can leave 2020 and say, good riddance, be gone. We have a different opinion. Why? Because we see a little bit deeper than just the surface. I hope you can see a little bit deeper into what happened in your life in 2020 as just an opportunity for God to show himself strong on your behalf. Yeah. Preach it, sister. She can get up here and speak for another hour and tell you much the same of what I've been saying and even stronger. So I want to leave you with that thought. Don't go out of 2020 and just say, terrible year. Don't care. I want to forget it. No, 2020 did a lot. And maybe it just revealed to you you've lost your edge and you need to get it back. Well, thank God for that. Thank God for the revelation that there's something that you need to do, something that you can improve on, something that He's desiring to draw you into. Amen? If you have a need for prayer today, there are plenty of people of faith in this room. And we'd be happy to join our faith with yours, right? Because there's strength in agreement. So don't leave without that. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you come and talk to me and you and I will have a nice conversation and I'll explain the wonderful benefit that He has for you just simply by accepting Him into your life. Hallelujah. Otherwise, thank God for 2020. Let's look forward to what 2021 has. Amen. Come and join us on Thursday night as we set the stage, if you will. You know, I know there are going to be people in the bars and there are going to be people just celebrating and getting drunk and doing all kinds of crazy things because this year is ending. We are going to be here praising and worshiping God, getting our hearts set on His purpose and His desire. And I hope that you can join and be here. Pastor Ben will be here. I can't wait to hear all of the great stories he's going to have to share with us over the next few months from this week away. It'll be good stuff. So God bless you. You are officially dismissed. Go in peace and go with expectation for what God is going to do. Amen. You are dismissed. And again, come on up for prayer if you would like some.